get them girls loose, loose. You'll get the world loose, loose.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hit us up 216-578-0850 or on Twitter at Browns_daily. Time now to bring in the third member of our team, Gerard Cherry. Gerard, disappointing Monday, certainly, with the Browns falling 41-20 to the Cincinnati Bengals. What are your takeaways from this game?
Well, I'm along the same lines as Vic. Disappointed, upset, borderline angry and mad because you wasted a great opportunity yesterday. And when a team gives you pretty much a chance to be up 21-0 in the first quarter and you only have 6 points to show for it, and then you move forward by letting them get back in the game with a 31-point runoff in the second quarter, there's a problem there. And you say to yourself, what is the issue? Did you not 2 weeks ago get the monkey off your back against the Ravens? Here was the perfect opportunity for you to go next level, and you blew that opportunity and chance. So I'm disappointed for the players, the coaches, and the fan base, because it was going to, I truly believe, had the team won, you're on your way to going to the playoffs. And now that is a very remote possibility.
Yeah, and we're help explain where that goes sideways. When you're looking at it from inside the team, when you're looking at it from a player perspective, because, Gerard, they knew what was at stake. We said it all week long. We certainly didn't. We weren't the only ones as media, as fans, as observers to know what was happening. Players got it. They got it. So where does it go sideways in the course of a game, especially when you've done the very thing you needed to do at the beginning on the road? Take the home crowd out of it. Turn them against their quarterback.
Well, you really, Vic, it goes sideways because you got to question the guys in the locker room that are on your football team right now. And the litmus test that I always use to determine whether or not a team is truly prepared and ready to play is I look right at the special teams unit, because that is typically your most hungry guys who have something to prove, who are week to week on this football team and cannot afford to have a mishap like what you saw this past Sunday. And if they're out there looking lethargic, if they're not paying close attention to detail as a unit or even on an individual level, that shows you that the message was not registered, or guys simply do not want to pay the price necessary to be in on that level of a playoff-bound football team. It's really that simple. So it goes back to the heart and character of the guys that you have on the football team, because it was just unbelievable what I saw in regards to the special team situation. Two block punts. That happens once every so often in a season, let alone in back-to-back situations. And it just seemed like the lethargicness of the whole team, man, just outside of Joe Hayden and maybe someone else we just didn't identify. I can't tell you how many other guys who really showed up and came to play yesterday.
You talked about Joe Hayden, and one of the things that bums me out for him is that, you know, his great performance is a little bit lost in the bigger story here with what happened. Where do you rank what Joe Hayden did against A.J. Green and the Bengals yesterday in terms of the great cornerback games you've seen?
That was phenomenal. You're talking about a guy being on his A game, a guy just in that zone. He was there yesterday. He was in that zone. He was in that place to where you tell yourself, I have arrived, and hopefully for Joe, he can continue to play on that level, because when you shut a guy down to the caliber of A.J. Green, even with a poor quarterback in Andy Dalton, that's saying something, because A.J. Green has a type of talent to where he can make a bad quarterback look good. And Joe Hayden took his confidence away from him, and he took his ability to play. He took him out of the game. And how often would you hear that? Because A.J. Green is a potential Hall of Famer, second best in the league to Calvin Johnson as we speak. So for what Joe Hayden did, you have to take your hat off to him and say, man, if you can just get the rest of your teammates to come with that same level of play, because you will hate to say, because Joe has the ability, obviously, but he had the intensity going with it as well yesterday. So, man, I was very impressed with his effort. Unfortunately, the rest of his team didn't show up with him.
Gerard Cherry joining us, as he regularly does, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Gerard, as you break down Jason Campbell, and we sort of said with some level of confidence that, hey, we saw enough efficiency and accuracy and all those good things, just avoiding mistakes was our biggest takeaway. And then he does make some plays against Baltimore. But I guess we counted on him to at least be that guy, the guy who wouldn't make errors. And he became something entirely different yesterday. How much do you attribute that to a really good schematic plan by Mike Zimmer, the Bengals defensive coordinator, and how much of it do you put on the shoulders of Campbell and the Browns coaching staff?
Well, I put a bunch of it on Jason Campbell, and some to a degree on the Browns coaching staff, but not that much, because when I think about that first quarter again, the right plays were called. Greg Little wide open. Jordan Cameron wide open. Who missed him? Jason Campbell. So right there, you have to put it on Jason Campbell. He didn't hit the open receiver, and that was pretty much remained the status quo for the entirety of the game for the most part. So I have to put more of that on Jason Campbell. Now, as far as the running game is concerned, you can throw that on the coaches to say, how come you didn't go back to that situation when you had Obanaya with the hot legs as opposed to the hot hand? Why did you not stick with him? But, Vic, it has to fall back, the main issue, back to Jason Campbell to a degree. But when I watch the 22 and I see the full shots, I want to also see whether or not guys were getting open. Were they all fully covered up, and was he making the right reads? Because we can make right now just off a TV version of what we saw, and you were there in person, so you'd know even better if you were watching the wide receivers whether or not guys were open, and Jason just was not getting the throws there or not making the correct reads. But once I see that, I'll have a better idea. But right now, I'm blaming a lot of it on Bess and Little. They needed to step up. They did not. They were invisible throughout the course of the game, and those guys had to come and play, and they did not. And then I have to say, when you had your opportunities, Jason, you didn't take advantage of them. And that's where I rest with the offense.
Greg Little, Devon Best, 12 targets between the two of them, 2 catches, 7 yards. That's not going to get the job done, as you pointed out, Gerard. You know, what do you take away from this game, though? What is there, if anything, that you can try to build on, try to work on with a normal turnaround, but another big game coming up with the Steelers this Sunday at home?
What I take away from this game, if I was a GM, I'd be cutting a lot of guys right now, I'll be honest with you. That's what I take away from it. I got a lot of guys out there who didn't understand the magnitude of the situation and did not have the energy level necessary to do that. Now, do I blame that on the individual, or do I put that on my coaches for not getting home the message of, this is an opportunity to go to the freaking playoffs and control your division? How do you not come out with a sense of urgency and maybe getting up 13-0 was a bad problem in itself, because guys thought it was going to be easy? But even still, you should have known that this team, even though they lost 2 games in a row, they took those games into overtime. So they had fight in them. They weren't going to quit. So I don't know how you missed that message. But then again, I got to remind myself, I'm dealing with an extremely young football team.
And I think that is the reminder that they're still at a place where too many of the players have no clue of what you're talking about because they haven't experienced it.
Right.
I mean, I think you can discuss it. Maybe there's the difference between being aware of it through discussion and being aware of it through experience.
Right, and that's probably what it is, because you're talking to a guy who did it for 9 years,
yeah,
as opposed to guys who don't have a clue.
Well, that's why you're the best source on this, and that's why I wanted to,
right,
to get into it with you, and you hit it on the head. This is the type of thing. And, you know, your anger over this, and it's clear and understandable, because we share it, definitely. And I think it also coincides with, I think, what might be felt in the locker room by some certain people like DeQuell Jackson and Joe Hayden, especially a guy like Joe. And I talked with him right after we did the Browns overtime show. And, you know, you knew part of him was feeling all good about the idea that I think he sealed up his chances to be in Hawaii as a Pro Bowler, mm-hmm, for the first time in his career. But I think there was a bigger part of him that said, yep, we did our part, I did my part, and there were a lot of guys who weren't there with me.
Yeah, and it was a lot of guys that weren't there with him, because if these guys would have played half the level of what he played, you blow Cincinnati out. So it was, and that's the part that really eats at you, Vic, because his effort goes unnoticed, because that was a heck of a performance. Herm Edwards had him ranked, number 4 behind 3 or 4 other players. He would at least went to 1.5 after that performance.
Gerard, Jordan Cameron was all the rage early in the season and has become largely invisible since Jason Campbell's taken over at quarterback. Is this something the defenses are doing to Jordan Cameron? Is this something that has to do with the chemistry between Cameron and Campbell? What do you think is happening with the exciting young tight end?
I think it's more of the defense just saying, you know what, Jordan Cameron, you're not going to beat us. And Jordan Cameron has to find a way, even with double teams and getting hit at the line of scrimmage, to get open and make plays, because it's not going to be easy. When you get that bullseye on your chest, you just have to step your game up, man. And that's one of the things that's part of his next step to maturation as a quality tight end, is understanding, okay, now that I am the man, they're going to treat me as so. I have to remain the man by beating those double teams. And that's how you do it. So the one-on-one days are over. But if he stays on the path he's in, some teams are going to forget about him, and he'll get a chance again to put up some numbers. But guess what? As soon as he does it, the double teams are going to come back. But if you really want to make a name for yourself, a mark for yourself, no matter who's covering you, double team or not, make those plays, because when you do that, you'll be rewarded accordingly.
And make the plays is it. I think the reality of what you face as a player who's had success at any point in this league, whether you call it a flasher or not, you become that player that people target. You become that player that coaches study and want to figure out, dissect, how do we shut this guy down? Well, they've done that with Jordan Cameron. Mm-hmm. I think to some degree they've done it with Josh Gordon as well, because he's still not the guy who was we saw just those eye-popping, consistently eye-popping plays we saw earlier. And, yeah, the easy counter-argument is, well, then others have to step up. You have to have another Greg Little, Devon Best performance like you had against Baltimore, except that you don't get that every week because those guys are secondary targets for a reason.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You said it right there, for a reason. And the thing is, those guys should not want to be that for that reason alone. But when you are in that situation, Vic, what I've learned – yeah, when you get into double teams, you get into triple teams, and you are the focal point of people trying to stop you, you got to embrace that. It's like, you know what? That's what I'm talking about, and guess what? I'm still going to defeat you. So it goes into mindset, because the easy thing to do is say, well, oh, well, I'm double teamed. As long as I just go out here and do whatever, I can't overcome that. And I think that is one of the issues with this team as it moves forward. So if we can't take something away from it, they're on the edge of being able to take that next step. But I don't think they understand quite yet, and obviously, I didn't say quite yet, obviously, that it takes another effort mentally and physically to take that next jump, which yesterday they showed that they were not willing to do as a collective. Joe Hayden, he's able to take that next. He took that next step. And a couple other players, probably when we go through the film and watch it, we'll be able to identify and say they were ready to take that next step. But as a collective, as an entire unit, all three phases, can't say that. And it has to be all three phases. It always goes back to complimentary football, guys. Always right. Goes back to that.
Can't win. Defense played great. The numbers for the defense, staggering. Got off the field on 13 out of 14 third down, something that had been an Achilles heel for them, and yet they come up on the short end of the stick and lose 41-20. Gerard, thanks for joining us. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow. Folks, you can stay tuned right here on ESPN 850 WKNR for Hooley and Gerard at 3 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, bro.
No problem, guys. Take care.
All right, we'll be right back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Final thoughts, final barks from the dog pound right after this.